and welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. It's December the 7th. We're heading for holiday season. The name of this show is Uncorked, celebrating the science of wine at Science World in Vancouver. I'd never seen this combination before. Wine, we understand. The science of wine is something that needs to be studied. It's why winemakers and masters of wine, sommeliers, know what they're talking about. This was in combination with the wineries of Mission Hill Family Estates. Road 13, Mission Hill, Cedar Creek Estate Winery, Checkmate Artisanal Winery, and Martin's Lane Winery. It's a gathering of the Okanagan's winemakers, viticulturalists, and chefs at this amazing inaugural event. And the best thing of all, the proceeds from Uncorked support Science World's On the Road program, which last year brought live science performances to over 41,000 students throughout British Columbia who might not otherwise have had a chance to visit Science World at TELUS World of Science. And it was sold out. So, let's celebrate the science of wine. Our guests are Daryl Brooker, the president, Iconic Wineries of British Columbia; Phil McGann, general manager and winemaker at Checkmate Artisanal Winery; Shane Munn, the general manager and winemaker at Martin's Lane Winery; Taylor Whalen, the winemaker at Cedar Creek Estate Winery; Corey Grable, winemaker at Mission Hill Family Estate; and Joseph Luckhurst, the general manager of Road 13 Vineyards. With two very special guests in there, wine educator Curtis Colt from the Georgia Strait and wine expert Tim Pozzi from the Hired Belly. Thanks to Ian Galbraith, the director of corporate communications at Mission Hill. Here is the science of wine. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. Join Blacksmith Vineyards and Jason Parks Customs on Wednesday, December the 18th, for an intimate evening with winemaker Jason Parks and crew as they celebrate the completion of their new Blacksmith cellar and future tasting room. The night features a homestyle long table feast paired with a selection of Blacksmith wines and tank tastings of select new vintages. Keep in mind, Jason Parks will give a speech, but heckling is allowed. All the details at thehatchwines.com. The president and CEO of Science World, Janet Wood, has just given her a speech. And what did you tell this audience?
We talked about the fact that we've had a great partnership on this event with Iconic Wineries of BC. This is the first time we've done Uncorked. And it's all about the science in wine, so we've got a combination of some education, some fun entertainment, and of course, fabulous wines.
I'm just wondering how it all came together.
Well, I think we just felt like it was a great opportunity for Iconic Wineries of BC to bring all of their wineries together, and they really were excited about the opportunity to do some education, and they wanted to do it in a fun and unique place, and they're going to talk about some of the science of wine, so what better place than the TELUS World of Science?
Did you actually sit down and talk about the science of wine and what they wanted to say?
Not yet, but I'm looking forward to going to some of the education this evening.
Because the thing about winemakers is they're all, and the growers, they're all steeped in science, in the science of it. But at some point, they set it aside and start to work on a sort of an instinct, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's all, you know, when you get, especially when you get in trouble, you go back to science.
Well, and I'm not an expert on wine, but I know that there's a big focus on organic. And so, it really is important to them, the whole science and nature and sustainability. And so I think that was one of the other connections that they saw. And that's clearly important to us. We're very focused on sustainability at Science World. So I think there were a few different places where our missions connected.
The president and CEO of Science World, Janet Wood. So this is a fundraiser tonight. It's going to be a big deal because there's 1,350 some odd people coming. Is this your client base or are you seeing new faces here?
Well, we think we're seeing new faces, which is really exciting.
Good.
Because it's introducing a group to Science World that may think of us as the place to come on a rainy day with children, which it is a great place to come on a rainy day with children, but it's also so much more, and that's why the funds from this evening are going to our On the Road program, and that's about going outside of the dome, outside of our facility, to the most remote parts of British Columbia and bringing science and Science World
to kids. You take it to them.
The teams get in vans, and they drive, they go to Climbto, they go to Prince George, they go all over British Columbia.
You know how important, how... fantastic that would be to a child that's never even imagined that.
That's exactly right. That's why we think the program is so important, and we can't continue to grow it like we'd like to unless we continue to raise more funds. So tonight's a really important event for us.
You know, you may have to sip a wine or two.
Oh, I will definitely have a sip or wine or two. There's so many great wineries here. I'm really looking forward to that. Once I do my next presentation, then it's on to the wine.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
The president and CEO of Science World, Janet Wood.
This is Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
The headline is called Uncorked, a Celebration of the Science of Wine. And it's at Science World in Vancouver, which makes perfect sense. Let's just ask Phil McGann, who is the winemaker at Checkmate Artisanal Winery in Oliver, and Taylor Whelan about the science of wine. If anybody's going to be interested in the science of wine, it'll be winemakers, viticulturalists, people working the field. But how much so does science play into all of this?
Science is a big part of it. It's to me, it's around 50% of winemaking. There's the science and then there's the art. So for me, the science is really knowing the parameters of how to make the wine, what you to prevent wine from spoiling, to get the best out of the vines. It's many faceted, really. It starts in the vineyard, comes all the way through the winemaking, even through to bottling, and also into aging. So
it's a singular experience? I mean, there's not an audience for it. It's you and the science.
Yeah, absolutely. Very singular to the winemaker, and each winemaker has a different philosophy. Taylor, you may have a different approach to me, but I choose to know a lot of the science and then not necessarily follow it in some ways, in the way we make the wine, knowing that we're taking a risk, but knowing that if I set up the parameters for the wine, we don't have to worry.
Give me an example.
It's kind of just making a picking decisions based on, say, what you're projecting, what the pH will be of your wine, and just the pH will naturally dictate what spoilage bacteria may or may not grow in your wine. So the lower your pH, the more sound your wine is against spoilage.
When you were educating yourself about wine, were you interested in that stuff, or did you want to get out in the field and just grow fruit?
Early on, I was more into the science, I think, as I was doing the degree, but as I've got away from the technical side and through experience in winemaking now, I've been doing it for about 18 years now, so you get exposed to different things, to different techniques, and it's some of the techniques I was exposed to that kind of changed my focus from simply the scientific and making sure the wine's pristine and filtered and all those kind of steps and stable, to making wines that are more less intervention, and knowing that there's a risk, but if you do your work well in the cellar, the wine will be fine.
Taylor, same science over at Cedar Creek?
In terms of personal philosophy, I think I agree with Phil quite a bit. Like, it's very helpful to have a scientific framework that can inform your decision making. But once you're comfortable enough with a lot of those processes and parameters, then you can kind of spread your wings and start to move away from just relying on chemistry, numbers, that kind of thing.
Are you talking about gut instinct?
A little bit of gut instinct, yeah. Experience, like, Phil's right. You do, to be experimental and consistent, you have to use science so that you're setting yourself up properly for a high-quality product every year. But after you've got that foundation, you can kind of move away from it a little bit and use a bit of gut instinct. So
that gives you the opportunity to experiment with different styles, different techniques, and just gives you confidence, essentially, as a winemaker.
Taylor Whelan from Cedar Creek Estate Winery, the wonderful winemaker there. And from Checkmate, Philip McGann. This is the science of wine. Okay, let's talk about this growing year. It was a challenge. Did science play into this? I mean, no, I know nature did.
Yeah, science definitely played into it. I mean, all of our vineyards are in the process of going organic. And so the vineyard guys were challenged this year in the south because they're using a whole new set of kind of management techniques and products that they'd never really used on the scale they were using before. But they actually ended up doing a really good job. Some of it's science, a lot of it's just hard work and paying attention.
Sure.
And it's the same in the winery. Like, you can know all the science you know, but there's nothing that substitutes for spending 14 hours on a sorting line and just getting clean fruit, you know? So,
yeah, I'd agree. I think for me, the science played a big part out in the vineyard and really getting out there and really spending time and getting the numbers, the analysis that we needed from the fruit samples, but also going out there and seeing what disease pressures there were and the damage that we had. Everything thrown at us this year. We had extreme heat, we had rain, we had early cold incidents, and also just, you know, a lot of the white varieties just sucked up the water when we had the rain in early September. That pushes the berries out, that creates a big botrytis threat. So we had to deal with things like that, but the science comes into play, but also when you've had experience with dealing with that before, you just know how to deal with it, right? You bring the fruit in a bit earlier than you would. You're not going to hang it in that situation. Really, at the end of the day, you want the clean fruit in the winery, and then you don't have to worry so much. You have to worry about science more when there's problems, I think.
Exactly. And when
it's good. The objective is to get the wine into the winery clean, the fruit, sorry, and then you can deal with it. Yeah.
Phil McGann, who is the winemaker at Checkmate Artisanal Winery in Oliver. Because of organics, does science play a larger role, you think?
Yeah, I think so, because your toolkit in terms of what you can add is more limited. Yeah. So if you have a firmer understanding of natural processes and of chemistry, then you can use those basic foundations to your advantage rather than just relying on adding something at a later date.
Here's the deal. There's going to be, I don't know how many people come in. This place is sold. It'll be jammed, right?
1,350.
Okay, 1,350. How many of those 1,350 will care what science made the wine as long as the wine, when they pour it, is absolutely fantastic? Do they give it a thought?
I think it'll be a curiosity for them. It may spark that side of it in their mind, okay, rather than and bring it to the fore. Whereas I think the average consumer, unless they're really passionate about wine and really investigate and read a lot about it, probably doesn't delve that deep. But tonight we'll give them a good inkling of different aspects of not just winemaking, but also wine growing. So I think that will really spark an interest for a lot of people. I think it'll be a great first experience into that, the science of wine, for a lot of people. And for people already into the science of wine, it'll probably reinforce that.
You can only get so much from the label. Right, and we won't know the whole of the science. We'll know the blends and whatever. But so you either trust the people making the wines or you don't, and you earn that trust.
Yeah, I mean, I think people earn the trust by tasting the wines, I would hope, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, like Phil said, even if people can just take a kernel away from tonight of understanding
that
it's art and science and creativity and botany and climatology that all feed into it, and they can think about it later. They're not going to walk away as masters, but just a little kernel will be enough.
But and also luck plays into it too.
Luck plays into it, yeah. But you know,
you also make your own luck.
There's an old saying, that's right.
You make your own luck through hard work.
That's true. Taylor Whalen, Cedar Creek Estate Winery, and from Checkmate, Philip McGann. This is the Science of Wine. What are you pouring tonight from Cedar Creek?
Cedar Creek, we have our Estate Sauvignon Blanc, we have Platinum Riesling, Estate Pinot Noir, and Platinum Syrah.
Philip McGann, what are you pouring?
And we're pouring two Chardonnays, our 2015 Attack, which is done in a larger oval cask of Fuja. And then we're also doing our 2015 Fool's Mate Chardonnay, which is our larger blend with components from each of our single vineyard sites. And a small amount of concrete in there as well as the barrel fermentation portion. Then we're doing two Merlots. We're doing Silent Bishop Merlot from 2014 and Opening Gambit Merlot.
Opening Gambit.
From 2014, yeah.
And thank you for keeping the Merlot flame alive.
Yeah, no, thank you. It's been a lot of fun to do.
Who's doing this? You're both doing seminars?
Yeah, we're doing one together. And ours is actually on the science of vessels and aging in different vessels, fermentation and aging. So Taylor's going to cover off the fermentation portion and the impact that has on different wines, and I'll cover off the aging and how that impacts different wines.
What are you going to tell them?
Well, we've got some wines to
try. What do you want them to take away?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's about choice, you know? You start with a raw product, and from the very beginning you have to decide, all right, am I going to use an oak barrel or a stainless barrel, or a concrete egg or a stainless steel tank? So we're hoping for people to get an appreciation of what those different vessels can impart at fermentation and at aging, like Phil said.
And what will you be saying, Phil?
I think I'll enjoy when people have the opportunity to smell oak, brand new oak, and that's my first big memory working in a winery, is the opportunity to smell oak for the first time.
Yeah.
And it really is a great thing for a consumer to be able to come in and do that. We'll have a brand new barrel there they can smell, and we'll also have the concrete egg and stainless steel barrel as well, so they can kind of look inside, smell these things, and kind of then through what we're tasting with them see what they impart into the wine.
Will you also touch on finally the last part of the aging process, which is aging in the bottle? You know, many times that white that we buy is 17 minutes aged, and then it comes out of the car and is consumed. So I know one, Reese Bender for one, has been trying to tell people, and Curtis Gold, age your white if they've got the jump. Can you touch on that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there's wines that are meant to be aged and wines that are not.
Yeah.
But if you get wines that are meant to be aged, they'll benefit immensely from proper aging conditions.
It's a great payoff.
That's right. As long as you've got a good place to store them, You're not above your refrigerator living beside a railway track. You can put them in a cool cupboard somewhere. That's
not
great.
Next to the furnace.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much the same. From our perspective, our wines are designed to be aged. So I think a lot of our consumers actually do age the wines. Frustratingly so at times. I wish they'd drink them and come back at times. But the great thing is now as our customers are starting to drink the wines, they are coming back and they're seeing the benefit of 4 or 5 years even more in bottles. So.
Thank you both. Pretty thank posh you. Digs here. This is not the cellar. This is pretty cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Taylor Whalen from Cedar Creek Estate Winery, the wonderful winemaker there. And from Checkmate, Philip McGann. This is The Science of Wine.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. Join Blacksmith Vineyards and Jason Parks Customs on Wednesday, December the 18th, for an intimate evening with winemaker Jason Parks and crew as they celebrate the completion of their new Blacksmith cellar and future tasting room. The night features a home-style long table feast paired with a selection of Blacksmith wines and tank tastings of select new vintages. Keep in mind, Jason Parks will give a speech, but heckling is allowed. All the details at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Believe it or not, if you go to the Road 13 website, they already have listed their events for 2020. The dinners with Backyard Farm, the bubbles and crepes, cheesy weekend, crab boil, the bubbles and barbecue, the harvest barbecue, and the days that the wienery truck shows up. It's all there. Make your plans at road13vineyards.com.
This is The Science of Wine at Science World, believe it or not. Daryl Brooker is the president of Mission Hill Family Estate, and these are all Mission Hill related wines. We're surrounded by Cedar Creek, Mission Hill, Martin's Lane, Checkmate, and Road 13. This is a nice family of wines, actually.
Yeah, it's a great family of wines. It's nice to be able to show them all together, Terry. Yeah.
And they're all different. They all have their own identity.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's the whole point of tonight, is to show that identity and let people taste them all side by side and wander through Science World. It's exciting.
Are we going to showcase regions? Do you think this, because this is the science of wine, I wonder if the region will play into that.
I think the region will, and we've certainly got lots of breakout sessions to, you know, explain the soil and the difference in the soil between the north and the south and different ways you can age vessels, and different wineries take different paths because every winemaker is an artist in their own way. Yeah.
Wait, how long have you been in the business?
22 years.
When you started, what was the interest from the consumer in how wines were made or the science of wine?
Yeah, very little, actually. It's, you know, I would track it down to probably the last 8 years or so. I've really seen an uptick. And what
turned that on, do you think?
I think it's like food, it's like anything else, because people are spending more money on wine. You know, wine was just like buying an alcoholic beverage, and now people are spending more money on wine, and they want to know what's behind it more. They're emotionally engaged.
He's Daryl Brooker. He's the president of Mission Hill Family Estate. Tell me about the character of, say, Cedar Creek as opposed to Road 13.
Yeah, and it's a great character. So Cedar Creek is really about the North Okanagan, you know, and so they're focused on higher acid, bright, fresh wines and really telling the story of the North. They make wines from up and down the valley, but that character comes through. It's, you know, it's that sort of farmland, organic approach, modern sort of farmhouse approach with Cedar Creek. And then you take a Road 13, they're so focused on big, bold reds, the Rhone varietals, Syrah is such a big part for them, and their GSM. And then, and they've got their working class wines, which I absolutely love. I think Road 13 has just nailed their market and what they're all about.
Yeah. And a very proud family, too.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, having Joe Luckus, he just sings Road 13. You know, he's what they're all about. You've only got to spend 2 minutes with Joe and you understand Road 13. Yeah.
And you don't even have to ask a question.
No, that's
just,
for sure.
Just take an in-breath, that's all. Now, the vast difference, say, between Mission Hill and Martin's Lane.
Yeah, I mean, Mission Hill, you know, first of all, Mission Hill's been around for such a long time. When Mission Hill started, there was 5 wineries, and so you've got Mission Hill is really about the entire Okanagan Valley, you know, from right down on the U.S. border all the way to north of the airport, and they're making such a breadth of wines, and that's the way Mission Hill's grown up, so to speak, where Martin's Lane is a laser focus. It's only Pinot Noir and it's only Riesling. It's very small, single vineyard.
Gravity-fed.
Gravity-fed, yeah, and everything about Martin's Lane is focused on Pinot Noir and Riesling, whereas Mission Hill is really telling the story of the entire valley. Yeah.
And we can't leave out Checkmate.
Oh, no, Checkmate. I mean, Checkmate is similar to Martin's Lane in that it's a laser-focused story, but it's the southern end of the valley, and Chardonnay and Merlot is what it's all about down there. And, I mean, they're both amazing varietals to showcase, and Phil's doing an incredible job. Yeah.
And finally, the overview, which I think is important from your perspective. Where we've been and where we're going. Where's the tipping point there?
Yeah, I think really the tipping point for me is number one, Canadians being super proud of what we've got here and how amazing our wines are. And you know, I've been lucky enough to work around the world, and we've got some of the most amazing wines in the world. So, and we've seen that in British Columbia. Now I want to stretch it the rest across Canada, get everybody on board, and then the next tipping point is people noticing our wines internationally, putting our wines on the international stage, and that's not being in every market, but it's having people around the world see what Canada can produce.
And how much winning Canadian Winery of the Year 2019, is that going to help in that program?
Yeah, I think it helps just by attention. You know, it gets people saying, okay, it's time for me to try these wines again. And because we change, our vines are older. I think we're better at growing grapes. We're better at winemakers. We're better farmers every year. And so, it's not a static thing. And wine's a living thing. And I think the people are surprised when they come back and try the wines.
Is it easier to sell wines in London than it is across the country?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a shame for all of us. You know, it's once you get outside of BC and Alberta, it's incredibly difficult to sell wine. And, so it is easier internationally, and it shouldn't be like that.
Will it ever change?
I absolutely. I'm convinced it'll change. I'm an optimist, Terry, but I'm sure it's going to change. And yeah.
And what's the plan for 2020?
2020 is continue on our organic conversion. We're nearly 50% converted organic now across our vineyards, and continue on that and keep pushing forward.
You're raising funds tonight for Science World.
Mm. Yeah, and it's really important. It's for Science World on the road. So there's so many kids that don't get to come to Science World, outside of Metro Vancouver. And so the funds are all going to Science World on the road. And I think it's a great cause. The more kids we can get interested in science at a young age, the better.
Actually, this is a great hang. This building and these wineries in this room, and pouring for this audience, this is a great gig.
Oh, it's amazing. And we just wanted to break the mold. We didn't want to do a standard walk around and taste. We wanted to do something different, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Terry. I appreciate it.
We're at Science World. I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. Daryl Brooker is with me. He's the president of Mission Hill Family Estate, and these are his wineries. Cedar Creek, Mission Hill, Martin's Lane, Checkmate, and Road 13.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Shane Munn from Martin's Lane, who is the winemaker, has joined us for the first time on Tasting Room Radio. Can you remember in your wine background ever being in a place like Science World and pouring wine and talking about the science of wine?
No, never. No, and it's one of those things, I think, kind of part of the blend about tonight is that sort of showing there is a very scientific side to winemaking, but I'd say we're one of the wineries here that I think kind of sways more to the artistic side of doing nothing when it comes to making our wines.
But how much do you rely on science?
It's always in the back of your mind. You know, we move all our wines and grapes and juice by gravity, so there's science there. You know, yeah. It's physics, and so like everything has a scientific, basis to it. So yeah,
but it's more an art form. Which I believe.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what the French don't have a turn for winemaker, but, you know, if the grapes arrive on the crush bed and the winemaker doesn't make some sort of decisions, then they'll still be there 6 months later. So every decision has to sort of be justified, whether it's doing as little as possible or really interventionist to make the wine have a particular character. So,
are you doing any of the seminars?
No.
Okay.
No, they don't trust me to do that sort of thing. Too outspoken.
Well, that's what it needs. Yeah. One of them is the art of blending.
Yes.
Now, that is the science of blending and the art of blending. That is an art form, yeah?
Yeah, I believe so. But, I mean, at Martin's Lane, we produce just two varieties, Riesling and Pinot. And I'd say Pinot of the red varieties is one of the ones that really probably relies less on blending and more on expressing its site and its place and its vintage through blending. So
Who shaped what Martin Lane was going to be?
I guess Initially, it was, you know, it's a homage to Anthony's father, his late father Martin, and that sort of thing. But he had this vision of making world-class Pinot Noir in Riesling, and assembled a team of consultants and architects from around the world to build a you know, one of the world's most modern wineries. I kind of got inserted late into the piece to help make the wines, and you know, just like all the winemakers in our company, we get complete autonomy to do what we want. So, in essence, I'm sort of shaping the wines and the direction they take. You know, whether we use whole bunches in Alpino or fully destem it, that's a decision that really guides the style to a degree. But I'm working really closely with Kurt, our viticulturist, and isolating and identifying really unique parcels of grapes, because all our wines are single vineyard wines at the bare minimum. Some of them are single block wines. So it's that sort of having that vision, I think, and having this view that what you're putting into bottle is giving you something that's more unique than every other bottling.
Shane Munn from Martin's Lane, who is the winemaker, has joined us for the first time on Tasting Room Radio. Tell us about the Riesling you're pouring.
The Riesling we make is distinctly inspired by the greatest old world styles, Austria, Germany, Alsace. It gets significant skin contact pre-fermentation, so the wines are more based on richness and texture and mouthfeel rather than delicate aromas. So
meant to bottle age?
I believe so, yeah. I mean, that skin contact will impart something that's quite profound in the juice. They're not fruity wines. I don't like fruity wines. I like wines that are kind of interesting and ethereal and feel nice rather than smell great.
And the Pinot?
The Pinot is probably even more diverse than the Rieslings. We farm four vineyards in the North Okanagan. They're incredibly diverse, probably more diverse than any other Pinot vineyards I've seen in a similar small spread of.
And then you blend all four?
No, they're all kept separate. So every parcel of grapes we bring in is kept separate the whole way through the winemaking process, and we envisage as potentially being bottled as a wine. So
do you make them singularly, or do you blend those four together?
Two of the wines are essentially blends of parcels within vineyards. Others are single blocks as well as single vineyard wines. So they're quite unique from that perspective. So we are trying to sum up a whole vineyard, really. So
any surprises for 2020?
Every year is going to be exciting about which new vintage we release and that sort of stuff. We launched with three Pinots. The next 2 years we've made four. In 2017 we've made five. So come back in 10 years' time we could have 10. So it's like that's the fun thing, is making as many unique expressions of wine as possible. Really, so it's fun.
You're going to have fun tonight?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It cleaned you up nicely too.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's still got the kind of the vintage hands. Vintage only, they're a bit rough, kind of managed to, they're a bit leathery at the moment, so.
But it's behind you now.
Yeah, but it's a great vintage. Every vintage we've had has actually been a great vintage, and we've had six vintages in the new building, and six incredibly diverse vintages as well, and that's the fun part of my job.
Thank you. I'll come pay a visit.
Yeah.
Thank you, mate.
Yeah, thanks. Nice to meet you.
If you haven't tried them, you should try Martin's Lane. Martin's Lane Winery, the winemaker, Shane Munn, in conversation, Tasting Room Radio at Science World.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Believe it or not, if you go to the Road 13 website, they already have listed their events for 2020. The dinners with Backyard Farm, the bubbles and crepes, cheesy weekend, crab boil, the bubbles and barbecue, the harvest barbecue, and the days that the wienery truck shows up. It's all there. Make your plans at road13vineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Sunday, December the 8th from 11 to 4, the Unsworth Tasting Room has a holiday open house. Treat your family or staff to a special evening at Unsworth Restaurant during the holidays. Keep in mind that Chef Martin has created a seasonal menu. He also has a five-course dinner for your New Year's Eve plans. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com.
Corey Carabio is the winemaker of record at Science World tonight on behalf of Mission Hill. How long have you been a winemaker?
So I've been, honestly, a winemaker now for 20 years, and I'm now in this was my fifth vintage at Mission Hill.
Where's home for you?
Home is Kelowna, British Columbia.
But where did you grow up?
I actually was born and raised in Kelowna.
Oh, that only happens in movies.
Honestly, yeah, there's not very many of us. And at the time that I decided to go into winemaking, I was lucky enough to have another female winemaker as a support network. And as there were no winemaking and enology programs in Canada at the time, I ended up going off to New Zealand and did my training there.
Corey Crabio, winemaker, Mission Hill. Are you in charge of something specific now that you have those 20 years behind you?
There are certain varieties that I take more of a focus on, but
such
we work
as?
On all of them together. I take a focus on Chardonnays, on Merlots, Rosés.
Now, this is the science of wine. How much is that a part of the process? We know about the blending and the growing and the cellaring and all that stuff. Tell me about the science of it.
Honestly, science is a huge part of winemaking. It's important to know for our acidity levels, the microbiology of wine, what can go wrong if there's an issue, and how to basically combat any issues that come up or you know, techniques that we can end up using and to ensure that our wine's in a safer state.
Are there some winemakers who leave that science behind and just go on instinct?
To be honest, I think a lot of us do. It's a combination. So as much as we have the science and it's important for us to know those numbers, at the end of the day, what the most important thing is how that wine tastes. And that indeed is what the art of wine is. And so you can produce a wine that is technically to number, but it will never be as good as one that you use your instinct for flavor and taste.
We're at Science World, and I'm talking with Corey Crabio, the winemaker of record today from Mission Hill. Two big questions. One is, you're filling in for Ben and doing it admirably, thank you. But it's about the science of blending. Tell us about that.
It is a science and it's an art.
It's an art.
So a lot of it is tannin structure. So you want to make sure that you've got a wine that's going to hold up to age. You want to make sure that you have an acidity and brightness to the wine, but also a wine that flows all the way through the palate. So that science is taking the different components that are sitting in the wine and being able to meld them in together to make the best possible wine. So lots of people think that when we blend, it's maybe not as good of a wine, but to be honest, I think blending makes the best wine that we possibly can make.
If you can hit that spot.
If you can hit that spot. And that is
the
truly
art.
The art
that's
and
the art
science.
Of it. And finally, what are you pouring today?
Today what we're doing is we're looking at the 2016 Quatrain. And the people in the blending session are all going to be tasting the individual components. So Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Syrah. And they're going to be working to try and get as close to what our Quatrain blend is.
What else are they pouring at the table?
They've got Quatrain, they've got Compendium, and they've got our Sauvignon Blanc Semillon and Terroir Cab Franc.
It's a good night.
It is a good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She is Corey Crabio, and she is the winemaker of record here at Science World. She is about to go and give speeches and pour wines and answer lots of questions. Corey Crabio, winemaker, Mission Hill.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Curtis Colt wrote a really good column on Uncork the Celebration of the Science of Wine and tried to explain to me, the reader, what exactly it was all about. But I keep thinking about the science of wine. Every winemaker that we know gets taught the science of wine, mm-hmm. and then at some point they kind of start to get their own science going.
Yes. Yeah, I think, you know, you hear it often about going to school, and then you have to kind of unlearn some things. You know, every vineyard is different, every winery is different.
Every region, yeah.
And so I think that depending on where you go, it's going to be a completely different thing to tackle. And, you know, with the wineries that are here today, the fact that they're all going in an organic direction, you know, that alone is such a massive learning curve. And it's just the science of wine, I think that there's just always so much to learn.
I have but one bottle of Curtis Colt Semillon.
Yes.
But one.
Okay, yes. I think I have three.
What science was involved in that?
The science was, I love the idea of a lower alcohol Semillon, kind of like they make in the Hunter Valley in Australia. I love that high acid, but still good concentration of fruit, but that high acid that'll let a wine age for a long time. You know, if your acid is kind of, you know, medium minus, it's not going to go as much of a distance. You need to have those good components of acid, alcohol, concentration, sugar, and so on. And so I think, you know, when it comes to an ageable wine, I think, you know, part of the, and this is my layman's science, I can't go down into cell structure or anything like that.
The thing about it is when we go into those places where science is being practiced in wineries, mm-hmm. there's nothing glamorous about that.
It's not. You know, it goes to that thing where a lot of people want to help out at harvest and everything, yeah. and then you lose interest pretty quick. About a half an hour in, it's backbreaking work. This, you know, lab work, it's very meticulous and everything. But, you know, when you are there, when there's a ferment going on and you can smell it and you can feel the heat and everything, that's science.
And finally, Curtis, incredible. When's the last time you've seen a wine review that said, now the science of this wine is absolutely fantastic? It's always about the fruit. It's about the...
Yes, the romance, the profile and everything, but these wines are alive. They are, you know, authentic expressions of our land and everything. And so, yes, the science of it all is very important and very valid.
And how young were you when you first came to Science World?
When I moved here in 92 when I was 18, so I was 18, but I think I was wide-eyed like a seven-year-old.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio.
He's Tim Pazzi, and he is the hired belly. Knows as much about wine as anybody else in this room, but I want to ask you the big question about, because it's called Uncork the Celebration of the Science of Wine. So how much do we think about the science of wine when you're tasting and traveling and talking to people?
Probably not enough.
Well, we
is a short answer.
We don't talk about it enough.
You know, we take it for granted. We take science and nature for granted. And I think what's really interesting right now, and I'm going to link science and nature because they are linked, is we're seeing huge changes take place in winemaking, in viticulture, as we react to climate change. And it's a huge issue, right?
So, I mean, for example, these wines, I wonder how many of them were made on gut instinct, just hunches and chances, and knowing your climate, and how much was science, you think?
I think there's a lot of science in the lab that supports the grapes that come out of the vineyard, and certainly there are checks and balances that we rely on science a lot for, right? So it's very much wrapped up in it, but ultimately it's about nature first.
How much do we think about the science, we the consumer?
I don't think we do.
I never hear people talking about it.
You know, and the obvious place my mind goes to is TCA and corked wines, and you know how the consumer doesn't always understand that there can be issues surrounding the science that's in the bottle, and it's important to be able to identify those flaws, which is why we geek out so much at wine judging, right? Because we've got to find that stuff and say, hey, there's a problem here. Consumer doesn't always have the luxury of being able to do that, but it's important.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Sunday, December the 8th from 11 to 4, the Unsworth Tasting Room has a holiday open house. Treat your family or staff to a special evening at Unsworth Restaurant during the holidays. Keep in mind that Chef Martin has created a seasonal menu. He also has a 5-course dinner for your New Year's Eve plans. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. You can find the Joy to the World 12-day Advent calendar. Also, holiday packages such as Dear Santa, 1 Viognier from 2018, 1 Glow Rosé from 2018, and a 2015 Cab Franc. And bundled up, a bottle of 2016 Meritage White, the Six Nations Double Gold winner, their 2015 Malbec from the Similkameen, and their 2016 Cabernet Sauvignon. All the details at bench1775.com.
The very clean-cut gentleman representing Road 13 here in Science World. It's Uncorked, the celebration of the science of wine. Joseph Luckhurst is wearing his best platinum tux today.
Plaid tux, thank you. Classic Canadian.
Like it was a beer festival. Now, what have you been here in Science World as a kid? Like, did you ever?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in BC. I grew up in Vancouver Island. But, I mean, any kid that grew up in BC spent time at Science World.
Were you in awe?
Of course. It's full of toys.
Okay, so now the whole idea behind the science of wine. I know that all of you folks in the wine business have that grounding in the science of wine. You have to have that. You can ignore it if you want at your peril, but it's there. How does it translate to a place like this?
I think it translates quite well. Science World is all about expressing science in a tactile, touchable sense, right? And wine is about that too. It's a sensory experience. So we're just kind of playing off that even further by having more tactile experiences that play with the science.
Give an example of science at work at Road 13.
Well, our slogan is that it's all about the dirt. Right, is that the best wines are made in the vineyard. So we brought along two different soil profiles from our vineyard that you can actually get your hands in, get dirty with, and actually kind of feel the different textures, the water, and why they would have more or less water retention or what kind of character they add just from the smell.
You drove the dirt down?
Hell yeah.
Does it go back?
Yeah. No, I was just going to dump it in the ocean right outside Science World here. Yeah.
That'd be wonderful. That'd be great. So, as an example, what did you bring to pour?
So, as you know, we focus really heavily on Rhone varietals. So I brought some Syrah, some Viognier, some Roussanne, and our always classic Syrah Malbec.
The Roussanne, picked 2 years to the day.
Mm-hmm.
This day?
Yeah.
2 years ago.
You know, you read up more than I did.
I did. You know I love it. And the Viognier from Blind Creek?
Yeah, absolutely.
Then you marry those two together in their own blend and then add a third element in one of your blends? I'm trying to think of your blends.
Oh, the VRM.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Viognier Roussanne Marsanne, of course. Yeah, no, I mean, that's a classic Rhone-style blend, a classic style for the South Okanagan, and a great expression of those three grapes.
I wrote VRM 2017.
Absolutely.
The Viognier. Now, the Syrah from Jackpot.
This is our estate Syrah, not our jackpot Syrah. The jackpot Syrah, unfortunately, I don't have enough of to bring down to an event.
Why is that? Because it was very successful?
I mean, it's extremely successful. It's our jackpot Syrah.
Blackberry cherries, some little pepper in there.
Lots now the of pepper.
Now, the Syrah Malbec, tell me about that blend.
So the Syrah Malbec was actually inspired by an Aussie winery where we had a bottle of it. It was absolutely stunning, but you can't get your hands on it. So that's where we decided to make it ourselves so we could actually drink it. So obviously not a traditional blend, but they dance without stepping on each other's toes and creates a really big, really rich wine and picked up Lieutenant Governor's Award just the other week.
It did.
It did.
Okay. There is a seminar here on the art of blending or the science of blending. Tell me about the science that went into blending Syrah and Malbec.
You know, a lot of people think that we just kind of throw stuff together haphazard and like, ah, there you go, there's a blend. But if you actually sit down in a winemaker's lab and see, we generally have an idea what we want the base to be, you know, maybe 50% Syrah or anything like that. But then what else? You know, we actually build these blends 1% at a time, sometimes even in smaller quantities to get the characters that we want. It's a really careful process.
How long does that take?
You know, generally, I'm too drunk at the end to remember. So, yeah, no, we can get it done within a day if we do some heavy drinking.
Wow. all right, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What else would you have brought had you the time? And
well, we do, up in the sparkling lounge here, have our 2015 sparkling Chenin Blanc.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Star of the show.
Star of the show. Some of the oldest vines in Canada, planted in 1968.
I asked Daryl Brooker a goofy question, and that was, how did the winning the Winery of the Year in Canada affect Mission Hill? He said some people will notice. What effect did it have winning that same award in 2018 for Road 13?
Oh, vindication. No, it was really just a culmination of all the work that had happened over the 15 years and the being in the top 10 wineries in Canada for 10 years running to kind of end up at the top of our game and the top of the field. It, more than anything, it was just felt really good to know that the direction that we chose to go with our wines was being recognized at a very high level. As far as how it affects the business, it's hard to say. We're always busy in the tasting room, and but we certainly don't use awards as an excuse to raise our price.
Plans for 2020?
Ooh, most exciting thing I got coming out is a pet project of Jeff Del Nin, our winemaker, and myself, where we have our first ever sparkling Syrah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You mean like the Aussies?
Absolutely. Nice, big, red, dry. Yeah.
Will it bubble and bop and spill all over the table when you open it?
Sure hope so.
How much are you making?
To start off, only 50 cases. Really, really small test run of it, but I hope to grow that significantly.
No. When is that sparkling Syrah?
Late spring, early summer.
Price point, do you think?
I think we're looking at about $60.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's good. and hard
how
to
much,
get.
How much did you make?
Only 50 cases.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Got to make money on it somewhere.
Okay. there is another seminar here, by the way, about aging.
Yes.
The science of aging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that?
I'd have to ask you. Look how well you've aged.
You know, that's because I get to do the interviews while everyone else is drinking.
Oh, I thought you were pickled.
No. But I got blessed with a great parents
who
looked after me, and a wife who blesses me. So it's Uncorked, the celebration of the science of wine, science world. Joe Luckhurst, the grown-up Joe Luckhurst, has come back to Port Road 13. Congratulations. Have a great fall, winter 2020.
Hey, thanks for taking the time, Terry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. You can find the Joy to the World 12-day Advent calendar. Also, holiday packages such as Dear Santa, one Viognier from 2018, one Glow Rosé from 2018, and a 2015 Cab Franc. And bundled up, a bottle of 2016 Meritage White, the Six Nations Double Gold winner, their 2015 Malbec from the Similkameen, and their 2016 Cabernet Sauvignon. All the details at bench1775.com.